There is a heaviness in the atmosphere, and it was there yesterday. And I asked God, and he said, it's just a heaviness in the atmosphere, and we'll soon see what it's all about. So if you do feel a heaviness, it's just, it's really there. I don't know what it's all about. God isn't saying, so we just have to trust him and believe him that he's in control of all things. Father, I just thank you for all that came out this morning. If you will but just trust me in the few short days ahead, my children, I tell you that I am bringing upon you a blessing that you will not be able to contain. I promise you that every promise I have given you is surely coming to pass, even in the few short days ahead. I'm asking you this hour to trust me with every part of your being. Trust me with everything that's going on in your life. Do not look to others for your answers, for only I have the answers to your needs. I'm telling you this day, children, many are falling away. Many are hearing other voices. But I'm asking you to look up, open your ear gates so you can hear my voice and my voice only. I'm asking you to come to my throne and sit with me and let us converse one with the other. This is an important time in my church. This is an important time in my kingdom. And I need you to hear my voice and hear it very clearly and very loudly. There are many directions, instructions I'm going to be giving you in a few short days ahead. So you have to be in tune to my voice. And I tell you this, I am moving upon the young people. I am going to do the miracles that I have promised. I am has spoken about this many, many times. And I will fulfill all the words that I've spoken and promised over your children. Do not be surprised at what you hear them say in the few short months ahead. For my spirit is going to move upon the children, and they shall prophesy what thus saith the Lord. Healing will be in their hands. The dance will be in their feet. For this is the hour that I desire to touch this generation. This is the hour that I desire to change my young people and bring them full circle around back into my arms. The world has had my young people too long now, and I am taking them back. I am taking each and every one of them back, and you shall see them do great miracles for their father. Quit leaning to your own understanding when it comes to your children. You do not understand and you do not know what is going on deep down inside of them. But put them in my hands and trust me that I can take care of them. Just as I've taken care of you, I can take care of your children. I am bringing the backsliders back into my house. I am bringing the young children back into my house. You will see great signs and wonders through these young children. They will sing and they will dance. And as they rejoice before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, many miracles will occur. So get ready for great signs, wonders, and miracles to be seen through the youth in this generation. We thank you for that, Father. We give you honor. We give you glory. We just praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. I'm just hearing God say that the young people have been brought up in homes that are not godly. They've been brought up in homes where there's a lot of division, a lot of strife. And this is why the youth are the way they are, because of the homes they've been brought up in, the atmosphere around about them. But God's getting ready to move upon the youth, and he's getting ready to do great signs through them. It doesn't matter what their households were like. These young people are going to turn the households around. Amen. Thank you, Father. On December the 30th, 2015, God gave me this word, you know, the word for the day, and it said, the hordes of hell have been unleashed against my church, but the church will prevail, and all those that I have been testing with what seems like no mercy are the ones that are going to put the enemy to flight, and they shall be another Paul and another Peter, and wherever they walk, all hell will tremble for they are now walking in total holiness unto their Father, and the enemy cannot touch them. This is the perfect time for my children to be alive and destroying whatever darkness comes into their path. My children will be taken up into the heavenly places, and they shall see wonders to behold like my son John, and they shall come back with a word from the throne of grace, and that word will turn multitudes to the cross. And I want to get to this line. He said, my church is living in my saving grace. All right. Then I just put down here Matthew 16:18-19. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But God said, my church is living in my saving grace. And I just pulled up, Googled saving grace, and really, nobody knew what saving grace was. All right, you know, they all tried to say what they thought it was, but saving grace is God's mercy, clemency, or pardon shown to us. What God showed me was His saving grace was, even though you have sinned, He has, and when you've repented, He has forgiven you, and He doesn't remember that sin anymore. And He can still use you as long as you understand you sinned, and as long as you repent and don't go back into that sin again. It's because a lot of us standing in here today, we know that we shouldn't even be preaching the gospel. We shouldn't even be in the house of God, but God's saving grace. God saved us. In fact, I think a lot of us get saved every day with His saving grace. I think there's things we do every day that, you know, that if it wouldn't be for God's saving grace, that we wouldn't even be here, you know, in the house of God. All right, how does saving grace work? Did you ever notice that the first thing Jesus said when He went public with His ministry was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But then later He told His disciples to pray, thy kingdom come. In Luke 11:1-2, now it came to pass as He was praying, Jesus was praying in a certain place when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So He said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we may ask, which is it? Is the kingdom here or is it yet to come? It is both. All right. When I was reading that scripture, you know, He said, teach us to pray like John did his disciples. I never really caught that before. You know, that John taught his disciples how to pray too before Jesus came on the scene. You know, Jesus started His ministry. We need to understand that God is all sovereign, and He works in mysterious ways, and He uses whomsoever He wills, you know, to do His will. And we can't be coming against the things that God is doing through anybody. We just have to know that God is God, and He'll use the stones if He has to, right? So we just have to let God be God and just go ahead and follow Him and do what He's calling you forth to do. I read a word which yesterday that really, you know, stuck with me, and this preacher was, it was a prophetic word, but this preacher was saying that that God's people will not preach, will not prophesy what God really wants them to prophesy, because they don't want to hurt people's feelings, and they don't want to lose a friend. And what God was saying to this prophet, well, it was a prophet, not a preacher. What He was saying to this prophet was, you have to prophesy what I say, no matter who likes or who doesn't like it, because the people need to hear the truth. If they don't hear the truth, they're never going to be set free, you know, about themselves. And so, you know, if you have a prophetic word for, or God's using you to minister to people over the pulpit or wherever, and God starts using you to speak, you have to go and let God use you to speak whatever He wants you to speak. You can't pick and choose. You can't say, God, don't. Well, I do that. I say, please don't take me there, Lord. You and use me to say that again and again and again. But He does it. He knows I allow Him to. But, you know, we have to keep doing what God tells us to do, because the reason why the church is falling away is because they have not been told the truth about themselves. And so they've been walking in a delusion, you know, and in confusion. And then whenever things come down the road and they don't understand, they just walk away. And if they were told the truth from the beginning, you can't sit in the house of God and sin. You know, we wouldn't have such a falling away. But I'm surprised how many churches are closing down every day, and I'm surprised how many Christians are leaving the house of God every day. But it's all because they don't want to hear, you've got to get it together. You know? They don't want to hear you have to get it together. They want to hear what you're doing is just fine. You just keep right on doing it, you're fine, and everything will be okay. It won't be okay. June, hell is full of people who sat in the house of God and sinned and thought they were going to go to heaven because a pastor or a friend or somebody didn't tell them what they were doing was wrong. And when they died, they went to hell. And I'm quite sure they're down there cursing you just like they do Jesus. Why didn't you tell me? But then, too, you know, whenever you do tell them, they don't like to hear it. But at least their blood's off of your hands, and they can't say, why didn't you tell me? You could say, ears, why didn't you listen? You know, put it back on where it belongs. And it belongs on you that whenever you heard the word, you did not listen. Okay, where am I at, Nancy? When Jesus came to this earth, he brought the kingdom of God with him as an invasion into a fallen world. Day by day, miracle by miracle, person by person, sermon by sermon, he began spreading the redeeming influence of his kingdom. And one thing we don't do is we do not influence anybody with the kingdom of God, because we don't go out there and we don't act like Jesus did, and we don't talk like Jesus did, and we act just like the world. So we aren't influencing anybody. The word tells us in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Are you anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power? Of course you are. When you became born again, you received that. Now, what Jesus did, he went about doing good. Are you doing good? And healing all, not just one or two, who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, what we have to do, the next thing I said is living as he lived. What we have to do, saints of God, we need to go out there and start doing the things that Jesus did. We used to do that, but somewhere along the line, we've lost that. And now we need to go out there and do the things that Jesus did. And we need to start living like he lived. His word has not changed. The body of Christ has changed. And God wants us to get back into what he calls, I'm hearing him say, the norm. And the norm is healing the sick, you know, casting out devils, living holy lives, speaking as he speaks. And once the church gets back into that mode, we're going to see the church turn around, and we're going to see the world run into the house of God, because they finally see something they've never seen before, and they know that they want what they see. All right? Living as he lived, after he arose from the dead, and we're talking about Jesus, and ascended into glory, he sent forth his Holy Spirit and filled his people with his presence and power, that we might follow in his steps and continue his mission. That's why he left the Holy Spirit here. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a comforter. So I said, after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into glory, he sent forth his Holy Spirit and filled his people with his presence and power, that we might follow in his steps and continue his mission. And his mission was living as he lived and doing as he did. You have to be like the hunters. They kept holding revivals about healing, and the people died at their healing seminars. But they kept holding them. They kept doing them until finally people started being healed, raised from the dead, and all kind of miracles happened. But they didn't stop just because they had the first failure. You know, they had a room full of people, a stadium full of people, and the people weren't being healed. They were dying instead and getting worse. But they knew what the Word of God said. They knew that you should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And then God even sent them in doctors to help them, to explain to people what was wrong with them, and then they got healed. So why do we just lay our hands on somebody and they aren't healed? They said, well, that didn't work, so then we never try it again. Did you think maybe the devil might be just there stopping you in your tracks? He's making sure that person doesn't get healed because he knows your faith isn't up there yet. And so he's just going to go ahead and knock you down a peg or two, and then you won't go out there and try to do anything supernatural for the Father ever again. Are you listening? Can I keep praying for people until they're healed? So if they die, well, you know, pray for somebody else. Just keep doing it until you start seeing the miracle working power of God at work. And when he returns again, he will bring the kingdom in its fullness. When Jesus comes back again, he's going to bring the kingdom in its fullness. God's will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven completely. God is going to have his complete will done on earth as it is in heaven. He is just going to. He's going to eventually find a bunch of you guys who will understand his word and the miracles that he wants you to do. And then he's going to start bringing his kingdom down here to earth. Not when we die, but he needs to do it right now. There's too many sicknesses out there. Brother Chris sent me a link that where cancer is now contagious. You know, and God said there was going to be new sicknesses come upon the scene. And now if you have cancer that's contagious, good grief. So what we're going to have, saints of God, you all are just going to have to start working in miracle healing power. You're just going to have to start getting your hands, talk to your hands, say, by faith, when I lay these on somebody, they're going to be healed in Jesus' name. Or you're going to talk to your whole body and say, and by faith, you're going to say, look, the glory of God is right residing inside of me. And when I walk past somebody sick, they're going to be healed. Are you listening? We're going to have to start doing this. We're going to have, because God said we could do these things. As any believer can lay hands on the sick. Doesn't it say that? Any believer. Doesn't say you have to be a believer for 10 years. I used to have somebody that was in the church and he moved out of state. But, well, I'm just a young Christian. I've only been saved 2 years. I've only been saved 3 years. I said, how many years do you have to be saved before you can start working, walking in the miracle working power of God? The second you get saved, born again, you have the power to do that. But because we don't believe that, we don't understand that, we don't walk in that. When your kids act up at home, why don't you tell the devil to leave? I just started one day. The kids were all carrying on. I stood in the middle of the floor and I screamed, devil, get out of my house. And those kids quit. You know, but instead you carry on the kids, you slap the kids around, yell at the kids and throw things and everything else. I don't know what you do, but anyhow, whatever you do all that stuff. And really the devil's standing back laughing. And why don't you just tell the devil to leave? Little Isaiah, when he starts acting up, I'll say, devil, get out of me. He said, my mom, please stop. And then he doesn't do that no more. So, you know, instead of you doing, see, the devil wants you to smack your kids around. The devil wants you to scream and yell and keep your house in an uproar all day. Why don't you just tell the devil to leave? Come on. That is what we need to be doing, saints. I don't care if the devil laughs at you, he'll talk to you, laugh at you, say, what do you think you're doing? I'm not thinking anything. I know what I'm doing. I'm casting you out and you're going to leave. Come on. It does work. I can't believe that I let for a year go by and put up that devil without telling him to leave when the kids acted up. It's not the kids. It's the devil inside of them. Well, if you don't believe that, then how come you grown-ups act like you do? Well, I got a demon. Well, why don't your kids have a demon then? Come on. I want you to really think about this. It's time you start using the power and authority that Jesus gave us in our homes, then on the streets, in church, everywhere you go. Start using that power and that authority that Jesus gave you. It's there. You just have to activate it. God says we have gifts, but we just don't use them. God told me I've given my body everything they need to overcome anything, but they aren't using the tools that I've given them. When he returns again, he will bring the kingdom in its fullness. God's will shall be done on earth as is in heaven completely. So the kingdom is here and it is yet to come. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we believed God to the place where there was such an anointing that what is a Shriners or something that shows all these children are all messed up? And I was watching this the other day and I said, God, why don't you just go in there with your anointing and just heal all these kids? I don't understand why things go on the way they do. I really don't. But, you know, we can still use our faith until we see it. And if God doesn't desire to change them, then it doesn't get changed. But, you know, how do we know if God doesn't desire to change them? Why don't we go ahead and use our faith anyhow? Are you listening here? I have a grandson who was born, you know, his leg was messed up by the way he lay in his mother's womb. And they told his mother and I that he would never walk without braces. They put braces on him as a young baby, you know, month old or wherever it was. And they said he'll never walk right. He'll always have to wear braces to get older. They'll have to be up on his hip. Well, I didn't believe that junk. So I took him, they put a cast on him. So I took him home and I said, he's not wearing this cast. His leg is healed. And I put him in the bathtub, soaked the cast off. Teresa was, Mom, what am I going to tell the doctor? He just tell the crazy, his crazy grandmother, took it off. I don't care what you tell him. And we took that cast off his leg. He's never wore braces or nothing. And he's never has, and he walks fine. Are you listening here? They did surgery on the one foot, and he does he does have arthritis in it, but I'm believing that God's going to take that out too. He's 30-some years old now, but if we would have believed him, he would have wore shoes, you know, with a brace in the middle. Then they would have put braces on him, but we were not going to settle for that. You know, we have what we settle for. You know, there's just something that God's trying to do here today. I told Larry, I said, I've put together four sermons, and even this one I didn't feel comfortable with. I said, God, I don't know what God's going to do tomorrow, but God's trying to get us to do something. He's trying to get us to start moving and doing his will. We should not be content to come in here and sit on our seats. We should not be content in that. We should not be content in walking out that door and life going on as usual. We should not be content in that. We should want more out of our walk with God than what we have. We might as well just go in and shoot ourselves and go ahead and die. Because we're walking dead people. We're not doing nothing good for the kingdom of God. Are you? Don't go out and shoot yourself, please. Are you understand what I'm trying to tell you here this morning? God's trying to activate our faith. And he said we're walking in saving grace. So if we're walking in saving grace and we go out there and we try to do something that doesn't work, the grace of God is there. And we can just go ahead and keep on doing. God said, whatever you place your hands to do, I'll be there to do it. We prayed for somebody one time and he was really sick, kept coming to church. And God, what was that word God used? Wormwood. And as I was praying for him, God said wormwood, because he wasn't being healed. Wormwood is bitterness. And I told his wife, and she said, he's not bitter about nothing, but you could see in his face he was. Well, the man died. So the wife called us, and we went over to the funeral home over here and spent out how long praying over that. But I knew when I went in there, God was not going to raise that man up from the dead. I knew that. But I couldn't convince that wife of that. So we went there and we prayed with faith. We really did have faith. But God already told me, I am not raising him up. He would not let go of the bitterness, and so he died. So, you know, you have to be listening for God's voice. He will tell you what he wants to do. All right? And because of the two men I did raise from, you know, that I did pray and raise from dead, and they didn't want to come back anyhow, I don't really know if I want to pray for anybody that's dead again, because they're happy where they're at, you know? And both of them told me I had to keep coming back because God opened the windows of heaven, let me see you down there praying. I have to send you back because she's praying. And the pastor sent his sons to me. had me call. I was in Pennsylvania because my mother-in-law had died. And he said, tell her to quit praying. I don't want to come back. Because God brought him back. He says, I'm too happy up there. So you know, sometimes I think, well, we just let him go ahead and go. You know? So we really have to have discernment, you know. Should you know, ask God, do you want me to pray them back on, or what you would? And God told me that one time, one young man, if you really want him back again, I'll let him live, but he won't ever serve me. He won't leave his atheist wife. He won't ever serve me. The decision is yours. You want me to take him now, or you want me to let him live? And so, as much as I knew that God wouldn't use him, I said, go ahead and take him. He said, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'll take him, and that's what he did. So see, you know. You have authority and you have power. God gave me the decision whether or not to let this man live. You know, brought him back again, let him live. Now, that's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of authority that you have. You're God's child, and you're supposed to be walking in faith and in authority and power and do the mighty works that Jesus did. When Jesus raised Lazarus, he was dead 4 days, wasn't he? And he started to stink, they said. And finally, Jesus sauntered over there and told him to get him, come up out of there, you know. Took his good old sweet time at it, didn't he? But he knew he had authority to raise him from the dead no matter how long he laid in that grave. Doesn't the Word of God tell us that when Jesus, you know, when he died and went to hell, doesn't it say when he ascended that people come up out of the graves? Look at the power he had. And when he came up out of hell, the people in the graves come up out of their graves and walked the streets, it says. It tells you that in your word. They walked the streets. Saw their family. You don't know how long they were dead. Are you listening here? If Jesus had that much power, which he did, that when he came up out of the earth, the dead people just had to come up because there was so much power running through the dirt, you know. And if we have Jesus living in us, which we do, then we have the same power and the same authority. So then wherever we walk, we should raise the dead. We should heal the sick. Are you listening here? I want you guys, or God wants you guys, I guess, and it has to be God. He wants you guys to be so full of faith this morning when you leave here, knowing that you're walking in saving grace and that whatever you lay your hands to do, God's going to meet it. He wants to increase your faith. He really wants to increase your faith. He wants you to understand the miracle-working power that's inside of you, and you just have to get it out of you. And you do that by faith. Come on. Lost my page again. Until that day, we live in the overlap of... All right, so I said that when Jesus come back, he was going to bring the kingdom back in his fullness. Until that day, we live in the overlap of two worlds. One is the fallen world, which resulted when sin entered, and with sin, death came. The other is the risen world, which came about when Jesus conquered sin and death and included us in his conquest. So we live in the overlap of two worlds. I don't know when I had my heart operated on. I forgot how many years ago, but I died when I had my heart operated on. They told Larry that they had to quit the surgery because they were supposed to put a pacemaker in, and they couldn't because they was afraid of losing me again. But whenever they brought me back, I heard him from a distance yelling, Barbara, 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 please answer me. Please come back. Please. Somebody was saying, please come back. Please come back. Don't stay there. So whoever was in that room knew that I was in heaven. And they called me back. And so I opened my eyes and I said, what do you want? And they said, it was a woman. She said, thank God. And she hugged me and she said, no, honey. And then she told me what they were going to do. She said, we lost you, but you're back. So I'm thinking, okay. And I'm just finding all this out, okay. Well, God just told me, you remember when you died, when you had your heart? I forgot about it. I honestly forgot about it. So if I was dead and this woman was calling me back to life. She raised the dead is what she did. Then God has a purpose for my life. And there was so much power and authority in that nurse that was there that she called me back from death. So why can't you all in here do that? Why can't you do that? You can. You just haven't exercised your faith enough to do it. You haven't pulled forth that power and that authority that you have deep down inside of you. Are you listening? Come on. Your little Isaiah, you know, was born with real bad teeth. It's from because his mother had so much methadone in her body. I think it was methadone, whatever she had. And his teeth are just no good, never have been. And so I was laying in bed the other night looking at him, and I said, and I was praying over him, you know, and I said, you know what, devil, you're going to give him back his teeth. And then I thought, how come it took me this long to realize I could pray new teeth into his mouth? You know? See, this is the way we are. We know all this stuff, and we just overlook it. We don't use the power and authority that we have. The devil makes sure that we don't, you know, we forget things. And I'm laying there thinking, you know, I'm standing there preaching faith, and here I have this child for 2 years now with these bad teeth. He doesn't chew in the front, he just chews them back here because these teeth hurt him. They're just come to the gum, and that's as far as they came, but they're all rotted, and the doctor doesn't want to take them out. But so all this time he's had to deal with these teeth, and I could have been praying new teeth in his mouth all this time. Are you understanding this? You know, with Jimmy, his father, I prayed about that foot right away. Well, why did I wait so long to pray about his mouth? It's because the devil doesn't want us to remember that we can have that we have that power and authority. And as long as we don't remember, then he can do his dirty work. Are you understanding this? We now live in both worlds at the same time, the fallen world and the risen world. And that is why we have experiences that seem to contradict one another. One day is filled with glory, the next is filled with grief. One day we have victory, the next day defeat. One day our prayers work with power, the next they seem to fall dead to the ground. One day we triumph in temptation, the next we falter in sin. Because we're living in two worlds. And it didn't used to be like that. You older guys know that. You know, we just went from glory to glory to glory. But now gross sin has entered the world. Satan has been sent down here to try to steal God's people. And now we have this gross darkness around about us that we have to fight. And the problem is people sit in lethargy and they won't fight. I've watched people, sometimes the only time they really fight is when they want to impress somebody. Oh, look how much power and authority they have. Why don't you do it to everybody? Why do you have to just do it to people that you can impress? Think about that. Jesus did it to everybody. He didn't try to impress anybody. Right? Lost my place. Okay. So you have been freed. You don't have to have all these ups and downs. You have been freed. When the enemy comes at you like he does, say, get out of here, devil. I have been freed. This is the year of Jubilee, and I'm going to walk in that freedom. You are not going to bring all this junk into my life ever again. And he's not going to say, oh, well, and walk away. He's not going to do that. He's going to come at you harder, and you're just going to have to keep telling him, nope, I'm not receiving this, and keep going. I still see families that live together, but they don't fellowship with each other. I'm talking about husband and wife. Yeah, they're wanting to go their own separate ways. Why do you do that? You're losing so many days of happiness. And this is making the devil just jump up and down and rejoice. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. I made him have another bad day. Why just move out? Why sit there and make each other miserable? Don't move out, please. What you need to do is you need to start using your authority and saying, devil, this is my marriage. This is my husband. This is my wife. These are my children. We are a family, and we're going to be a family, and we're going to kick you out. We're not going to kick each other out. Amen? You might be the one that messed up the situation. So you know what? You're going to have to keep praying hard until God fixes it. Right? You fool around and do something dumb, and you hurt the other one, and then you want the other one to, oh, it's fine. Well, it doesn't work that way. It's not fine right now. You're going to have to let the other person, God, work through. You know, you have to say, God, please work with them and please heal whatever pain I've placed in them. Amen. You have been freed. Some ask, are you saying that we will never sin again? No, we are saying that Jesus will never sin. You know, when God gives us a saving grace, that doesn't mean we'll never sin again. Jesus will never sin. And he is now living in you, right? And will show himself through you as you stand in saving grace. Come on. He's living in you, and as you stand in the saving grace, in other words, you stand in the fact that you know that you know that you know that God is with you. If you mess up, he's with you, and he's not going to kick you to the curb, but he's going to go ahead as you repent. He's going to go ahead and put you in right standing with him, and you can go ahead and do the things that God's called you forth to do. Everybody in here, I bet you've, I won't bet, there's something you did this morning you wished you wouldn't have done before you ever came into the house of God. All you had to do was say, God, I'm so sorry I was dumb today. Please forgive me. And then just go on. The devil will try to keep you from doing the will of the Father in any way he can. You have to be smarter than the devil. Are you listening? You have to be smarter than the devil. And you are. But he has you believing you're not. Doesn't he? If you look at the body of Christ, you think, why are they doing what they're doing? It's because they believe everything the devil tells them. And he makes them believe that he's smarter and they're never going to get it together. You are going to get it together. It might take you a while, but you are going to get it together. And you are going to walk in all the power and authority that God wants us to walk in. But you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. All right, nevertheless, because Christ is in us, the power of his presence, his saving grace, now lifts us up above the claims of this lesser world. Do you really know that Jesus is in you? Do you really know because Jesus is in you, you have power and authority over the devil? I don't care who the devil's working through, you have power and authority over the devil. You're just going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to be bold with your stand. I didn't say be ignorant. I said be bold with your stand. And you're going to have to tell the devil you're going to get out because I'm going on with God. I don't care what I did in my dumbness that you made me do or convinced me I should do. I'm not there now and I'm not going back there and I'm going on with God. Come on. God, right now, God is using people in this church that have been so messed up, they didn't even know which was morning and night. But because they cried out to God, because God saved them, God's doing great and mighty things through them. And they are going to go back there and keep saying, oh, look what I did. No, they don't do that. Their cry is, don't ever let me go back there and do what I did. And they keep moving forward. See, you have to keep moving forward. You cannot stop. You cannot sit down. You have to keep moving forward. I don't care what you've done. I really don't. If you've asked God to forgive you, he's forgiven you. Now move on. You won't be able, some things you're not going to be able to go back and repair. You're just not. They're done. You wish you wouldn't have done them, but then that's just something you did. Just so keep going for it. Don't do it again. Just don't do it again. What I am saying is that you no longer have to sin as though there was no choice. You have been freed from the chains that held you as slaves to sin, and now you can yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead. You know, people come in here, they get saved, they get delivered, they get radically delivered and saved, and their loved ones come and tell me, oh, they're so different. We just thank God you're here. We thank God. This. And then you're about, let's say, 2 months down the road, the person does something dumb again. Then the people go, I guess it didn't work. Yes, it did work. But that devil knows you, and he comes back to tempt you, and you're just going to have to keep telling him, you're going to have to get smarter than he is, say, nope. Been there down that road with you, and I'm not going there again. It caused me a lot of pain and heartache. And don't beat yourself up just because you gave in to what he said to you. Don't beat yourself up over it. Beat him up. Kick him out. Knock his teeth out. Because God in his saving grace is saying, that's all right, son. That's all right, daughter. I know you're weak in certain areas. And I forgive you. And then he picks you up and moves you on. Come on. Where you once were slaves to sin and doomed to live in perpetual unrighteousness, now you are forgiven, free, and filled with the Spirit of God. You can live a truly righteous life even in an unrighteous world. I said, I was telling my husband, this is the fourth sermon I put together in grace. And I said, if I preach these other ones, they're going to think that I give them license to go out there and sin. So I can't do this. So I put it together like this, hoping you don't think I'm giving you a license to sin. I'm hoping that you understand that you don't have to sin. And if you do miss the mark, you don't lay down and say, well, that didn't work. I guess I'll go back out into the world. No, you just say, well, I'm just going to get stronger now. I know how the devil works, and I'm not going to allow him to get me in that area ever again. So he'll work on another area. You know, he doesn't just give up. See, this is the body of Christ thinks he gives up. No, he does not. I'm here to tell you, no, he does not. Yeah, I don't care how long you're serving God. No, he does not. He will constantly come at you and bombard you, make you feel unworthy, make you feel uncomfortable, keep telling you you're never going to make the mark. Isn't that what he does? But you are going to make the mark. You are going to make it because God said we're walking under saving grace, and God is going to be with you. And every time you say, God, I'm so sorry, he hears that and he picks you back up again. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Sin will not have dominion over you, because you're walking in God's saving grace. Come on. What then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. That's why it's so hard to preach a grace message, because people say, "Oh, well, I can go ahead and sin." And do you ever really think, well, you know, just about the time you sin is about the time the devil caused you to have a heart attack or a car to hit you or something, you go straight to hell. So why would you want to do that? Amen. You know, the grace of God keeps you from sinning. When you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, especially in the face of overpowering trials and temptations, God gives his saving grace in abundance. And where sin did abound, saving grace does much more abound. And while you may not be able to handle the challenge by yourself, you are no longer left to yourself to do so. Christ is in you, and he can handle it through you. Wake up. Christ is in you, and he can handle it through you. 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Every temptation you go through, everybody else goes through. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That scripture tells you and I that God will not permit you to be tested above what you're able to bear. And with the trial, he will also provide a way of escape so that you may bear the moment in victory. All right, just say that you were a whoremonger. So what does the devil do? He makes some beautiful girl walk. Well, they don't care what they look like. Let's just say somebody's not dressed properly. Walk by you, you know, and here your eyes go, you know, and your ears flop up and down, you know, and you get all Twitter-pated, whatever you get, you know. Well, God's going to make a way where what that happens. He's not going to let you give into that temptation. Amen. If some floozy comes up to you and tries to wrap herself all around about you, say, nope, you're not wrapping yourself around the God in me. Amen. I'm God's vessel now, and you're not going to do that to me. I don't do those things no more. Do you know that God, that the devil will use Christian people to seduce Christian people? those are people you got to run away from. I'm not saying they're not saved, but you know, if you were one that was that kind of a person, God, this devil will use you again, try to destroy another Christian. So both of you got to make sure you're under the saving grace, right? The way of escape which God has provided is saving grace, the empowering presence of God enabling you to be who he created you to be and to do what he has called you to do right where you are. How long are you going to run away from the devil? There should come a point when, you know, if you were lustful, that a girl totally naked could stand in front of you and it wouldn't bother you. Because it says God's saving grace will help you right where you are. And if you're a woman who gets all excited about men, then you should come to a time in your life where 20 men could walk by you and it wouldn't bother you at all. And if you're a glutton, they could have 50 tables full of donuts and it wouldn't bother you at all. Amen? Come on. There has to come a time in your life when nothing, those things are no longer going to cause you to fall. And because you have Jesus in you, in his grace, amen, come boldly. Thus it is written in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. You know, it really amazes me how people say that Jesus was homosexual. It really amazes me how they say that he laid around them women that, you know, were bathing his feet and this and that and the other. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He didn't give in to that junk. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, if you feel those temptations rise up, help! You should be screaming to God, help! I need your saving grace. Help me right now. My flesh is wanting to fall. But my spirit man is crying out, don't let me fall. Amen? If you're not going to make it, how's the world going to make it? The world doesn't know about Jesus. Do you understand that? But you do. And if you're going to fall, how's the world ever going to make it? We just might as well just go out there and say, God, blow us all up and let us all go to hell because we just can't do this thing. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The reason why you can't do it is because you tell yourself you can't do it. And the reason why you're tempted all the time is because you haven't told your eyeballs to straighten up. Come on. Eyes, you no longer look at those things, right? Ears, you no longer listen to those things. All right? You know, I knew a prostitute. I still know the prostitute. But she said, I can get any man I want to get. I can tempt any man to their sin. I don't care how saved they are. I can get them to sin. Now, of course, that was the devil speaking through her. And I thought, isn't that a shame? Because that is the truth. In most cases, that is the truth. And that's because you aren't walking under the saving grace of God that can keep you from those temptations. Are you listening? The devil told Lester Sumrall years and years and years ago that he was going to ruin the world with the TV. And you know, he has. He has used the TV very wisely. And he's destroying our younger generation. There isn't anything on TV worth watching anymore. Everything has cussing in it or some sort of witchcraft or something. There's really nothing worth watching on TV. But Satan told Lester Sumrall years ago, when I was first saved, he woke him up and said, and he showed him a TV box. He said, I'm going to destroy the world with this. And he had his plan all laid out. But I was reading where now Hollywood's going to be turned around and they're going to start doing more Christian movies and we're not going to have all the filth. Won't that be nice? God's going to take over Hollywood. So if we keep praying, if we keep trusting, if we keep walking that saving grace, saints of God, we can change the world. See, the problem is we aren't changing nothing. We need to change ourselves first. We need to change our thought life. And then we can start changing the world. Amen. I read an article where it said, how many churches does it take to save the world? And I didn't read the article, but I thought, well, just take one, really. One church with people in who really trust and believe in everything that the Bible said and walking in what the Bible has to say, that church can change the town they're in. And then it keeps spreading to all kind of things are changed, all kind of people, all kind of churches. We have to be bold. We have to walk boldly before the Lord. The devil's bold. You know, the devil and people get up and cuss you out and do all kind of stuff. If you say one word, how dare you? But the devil doesn't care what they do to you. He's very bold. So we have to be twice as bold as what he is. And we have to determine he is not going to take us out. So how many of you here this morning, you've already determined your heart, devil, you're not taking me out. I don't care if you've only been saved 2 months, 3 months. You've come too far to be taken out now. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen whenever you die and go to hell. The devil has a special place for you because you had the audacity to leave him and go into the house of God. I don't care if it was a month or 2 months or what it was or even a week. And now he's going to show you what torment's all about. If nothing else, that right there would keep me from sinning. It really would, because I don't want to go down there and be tormented because I preached the gospel. Are you understanding that? I don't want to go in that special section of hell where they put us to torment us worse than anybody else. I want to go to heaven. And I want to sit up there and there were streets of gold. And I want to eventually one day when God repopulates the earth, it says that we're going to come down and help him repopulate the earth. I want to be one of those. How about you? And live for 1,000 years in perfect peace, right? Wouldn't that be wonderful? We've just worked 10, 15 years in hell, and I mean, that's been enough, right? So how about you guys? Are you ready to do the things that God's called it? Where am I at anyhow? We all need, is that where I'm at? Well, I can't find that. It is. Okay, we need to give God praise for his amazing saving grace. We need to give God praise for his amazing saving grace. Right now, I want you to sit there and say, God, thank you for your amazing saving grace. And we need to start worshiping the Father in beauty and holiness. We need to start living a holy life so when people see us, they'll know that we are God's child and we've been in the presence of the Most High God, and they're going to want what you and I have. Are you listening? As people look at Brother Allen and they know where he came from and they see where he's at today, they're going to say, I want what you have. Brother Ethan, you know, as people knew you who you were, and now they say, I want what you have. And then you'll tell them what you have. Sister Mary, as people knew you who you were, and now they see you, and they see you praise and dance before the Lord, I want what you have. What caused you to be who you are today? Are you understanding this? Remember I told you how I became born again because my girlfriend who cussed up a storm, but she was really a nice person. But she came in here one day, and she was a loud mouth. She came in here one day not talking. I said, are you sick? No. And then she didn't say nothing. You know, as we walked up the steps to go to class, she always picked me up. I worked at college. She came in, and we'd go to class together. I said, what is different about you? I said, I want whatever you have, because this woman was totally changed. And she said, come with me tomorrow night and I'll show you. And that's when I became born again. I became born again because I saw a change in somebody. I knew her for years as a loudmouth, you know, cussing person, but heart big as gold. And then she came in and wouldn't even talk, which was totally out of character. never said a cuss word. I wanted that. I was searching. And I wanted more than what I had. And she showed me the true Jesus. Do you understand how many of your friends want more than what they have? They aren't saying it out loud, but they're searching. And they're broken inside. But as they see you changed, they're going to say, I want what you have. Are you ready? I'm hearing God say, are you ready for that brokenness within? So that he can use you to win others for his kingdom. God wants to do that with you all this morning. He wants to use you as the new creation that you are right now to bring other lost souls into his kingdom.